friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May all
this
love, respect, and
peace. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
We watch this morning for the light that the darkness has not overcome. We watch for the glow of life that gleams in the growing of the earth and glistens in sea and sky.
We watch for your light of love in the last
and the ever-living of our souls. If the grace of seeing were ours this day, we would glimpse you in all that lives. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of life and power, through the mighty resurrection of your Son, you have overcome the old order of sin and death and have made all things new in him. May we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, reign with him in glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit is alive, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Priez, lecture du livre d'Isaïe. Le Seigneur de l'univers va donner sur cette montagne un festin pour tous les peuples, un festin de viande grasse et de vin vieux, de viande grasse succulente et de vin vieux décanté. Il fera disparaître sur cette montagne le voile tendu sur tous les peuples, l'enduit plaqué sur toutes les nations. Il fera disparaître la mort pour toujours. Le Seigneur Dieu essuiera les larmes sur tous les visages et dans tous les pays, il enlèvera la honte de son peuple. Il l'a dit, lui, le Seigneur, on dira ce jour-là, c'est lui notre Dieu. Nous avons espéré en lui. Et il nous délivre. C'est le Seigneur en qui nous avons espéré. Exultons, jubilons, puisqu'il nous sauve. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lined with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Speak to you in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may have noticed that a few of the players are not who they are named in the bulletin this morning. Gary, our rector, took ill last evening and is unable to be with us today, so we've kind of switched things around and are hoping to cover the bases for him, and I know we all will keep him in our prayers this morning that he would be feeling much better as the day goes on. I want to paint with you a picture of the resurrection of Jesus this morning. What's in the painting? What does it look like? But first, before we think about that story, I want you to think just of a beloved Bible story that you're going to paint in your mind and see how easy it is to picture that story. Now, we could go around the room and actually share a favorite story and what we see. I mean, maybe you see Zacchaeus in the tree, little Zacchaeus, and Jesus down below, and Jesus saying, "Come on down, I see you, Zacchaeus. Going to have dinner with you tonight." Maybe you see Jonah, devoured by the whale, doing what he could to escape God's mission. Maybe you see the woman who had 10 silver coins and she lost one, and she sweeps the house furiously, and upon finding that lost one, throws a big party. I like to think the party cost more than the value of that coin. Or maybe you see an image in your mind from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." So whatever the story that comes to your mind, I ask you to try and paint that picture a little bit. It would depend perhaps a little on your artistic ability. It's certainly not something I would be any good at with a brush in hand. But in my mind's eye, I can see them all. Little Zacchaeus in the big bushy tree with Jesus down below looking up. Jonah in the teeth or the belly of the whale. And the woman frantically sweeping her house looking for the lost coin. Or maybe it's that beautiful pastoral image of a shepherd tending sheep in green pastures. Can you see an image of your favorite story in your mind? A few nods, thank you. So now I do want to shift gears and ask you to see in your mind's eye an image of the resurrection of Jesus. And it went a bit silent. Because we're not really sure where to start. I think I might start with a picture of the stone that sealed the tomb of Jesus. It was a large, large stone. It could have weighed a ton, I'm told. It secured the tomb, it was huge, it was nestled between a small stone wall and the stone of the cave-like tomb itself. A couple of men could move it into place because of the groove in the ground and the slight decline in slope. But once set in place, it was done, it was there, it was solid, it was immovable. So my picture in my mind's eye of that stone is probably in two parts. And the first part is seeing that stone in front of the tomb where we left Jesus on Good Friday. That stone symbolizes the past, the glad days of discipleship, of Jesus' earthly ministry around Galilee, which he shared with many men and women. There were the 12, Peter and John and James and Andrew and the rest. There were good friends like Mary and Martha and Lazarus of Bethany. There was Mary of Magdala. Many had shared Jesus' life. They were with him when he healed people, when he fed multitudes, when he taught crowds about the closeness of God. They were there when he challenged the limitations of religious law and narrow definitions of God's love. They had experienced something of the redeeming power of God firsthand through knowing Jesus. Well, that stone that I see in my mind's eye also represents the great power of the state. The state ready to quell any rival, ready to silence any who would be courageous enough to speak out for truth, for freedom, for justice. States do that in plenty of places in our world today, don't they? No upstart preacher with a little band of followers would challenge Rome's authority. That stone said that Rome had had enough. Well, that would be part one of the painting. But part two would actually have the stone rolled away, because remember when the women went to the tomb expecting to find the stone there sealing it shut, they said, "Who's going to move it for us?" And they got there and the stone itself had been rolled away. And so this is part two, where the stone is just beside the empty tomb, or the doorway into the tomb. This is part two. And of course it's a very, very important part of the story, because the entrance to the tomb is now open. A new day has begun. A new day has dawned. There is a new beginning. Something very, very wonderful has happened. And life with Jesus is beginning anew. You know how the stone that sealed the tomb shut? Well, that was over. That was finished. But the stone is now rolled away, and something brand new is beginning in creation. So remember, the project was to draw the resurrection, and all I've done now is draw a stone in front of the tomb and then beside the tomb. One theologian talking about this refers to the lack of detail in the scripture about Jesus' resurrection as the great omission. He speaks of the great commission. We all know that, where Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, sends the disciples out to the ends of the world to go and to baptize and to share the story of God's love. But John Dominic Crossan speaks of the great omission as the lack of detail about what actually happened. Like, who was there? Who saw Jesus rising from the dead, emerging from the tomb? Karen has brought her icon of the resurrection to share with us this morning. And it's something that John Dominic Crossan does in a wonderful teaching series, how he examines how art actually depicts the resurrection of Jesus, the body of Jesus emerging from the tomb. It's not actually there in the scripture, but art from a very early day began to show it different in the West and in the East. And this is an example from Eastern Christianity. And you'll see Jesus is trampling down the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the gates of the dead. He is pulling up, in one hand, Adam, and in the other hand, Eve, who are going to be rising with him. On one side are kings Solomon and David, and also John the Baptist, and some women and men, disciples, on the other side. That's a picture of resurrection. But I want to leave with you this morning a different picture of resurrection. I expect that many of you have your phones with you this morning. I'm not suggesting you take them out. But if you were to take them out, I would ask you to take some photographs of this assembly here today. You could have the forward-looking camera, and then you could have the one that includes you and what's around you. I want to suggest to you that this is a picture for today of what the resurrection of Jesus looks like. Resurrection is a community of women and men and young people and children who strive to follow Jesus Christ and live the promises of baptism. Maybe in one of your photographs you'll catch a glimpse of the altar, the gifts of bread and wine, or the gospel book that tells the story of Jesus. Maybe you'll catch glimpses of people that you've known for a long time. Maybe you'll catch choir members or musicians. Maybe you'll catch people you've never met before here in this assembly. All of us here, because we, with Mary Magdalene, are able to say, I have seen the Lord. And we are united in that proclamation. We are here because we have, well, some of us were here last evening as Idris was baptized and made for the first time his promises of following Christ, and others of us renewed our baptismal covenant. And all of us who are disciples of Jesus, we are asked constantly, will you seek and serve Christ in every person that you meet? Will you respect the dignity of every human being? Will you strive to protect the earth? Will you work for justice, for freedom, for dignity? Will you share the good news of God's love, even to the ends of the earth? So look around you today. Take a picture, take a snapshot. This is what resurrection life looks like. This is the life we share as we join our voices with Mary in her proclamation, I have seen the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
On this Easter day, in joy and in hope, let us pray to the source of all life, saying, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That our risen Savior may fill us with the joy of his holy and life-giving resurrection, that he may fill all of those who we love with that joy and be that joy for all of our communities. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory. That isolated and persecuted churches may find fresh strength in the Easter gospel. We pray especially for our siblings in Christ in our partner diocese of Jerusalem, under the leadership of Archbishop Hossam Naum, at this time of turmoil in the land of the Holy One. Let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us,
Lord of glory. That God may grant us humility to be subject to one another in Christian love. And we pray especially for those whose love is needed today. We pray for the love that we feel here in this parish and community at St. John's. Let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That God may provide for those who lack food, work, or shelter. We pray especially for our diocese community ministries, The Well, Center 454, St. Luke's Table, Center 105 in Cornwall, Cornerstone Housing for Women, the Ottawa Pastoral Counseling Center, and the Diocesan Refugee Ministry. Let us pray to the Lord. That by God's power, wars and famine may cease throughout all the earth. We pray especially for peace in the Holy Land, in Ukraine, in Sudan, in Haiti, and in all other places in the world where violent conflict inflicts physical and spiritual suffering. Let us pray to the Lord. That God may reveal the light of God's presence to the sick, the weak, and the dying, that they may be comforted and strengthened. We hold up in prayer those people in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord. That God may send the fire of the Holy Spirit upon God's people, that we may be emboldened to bear faithful witness to the promise of Christ's resurrection and strengthened to follow Christ's example of loving service to all whom we encounter in our lives. Let us pray to the Lord.
As Jesus taught us, let us pray. We pray.
Thank you.
whose power working in us is infinitely more than we can ask for or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go forth in the power of the risen Christ.